So, right now, highly paid software engineers are actually spending like 19% longer to do their jobs.
Right.
And the crazy part is they're doing it because they are using a tool that's specifically designed to make them faster.
It is quite the paradox.
It really is. So today we are doing a deep dive into this massive, honestly, kind of hilarious paradox of vibe coding. Our mission today is to tear through this towering stack of recent industry data. We've got the Google DORA 2025 report, the Sonar 2026 survey, and the latest from Stack Overflow and JetBrains.
Oh, there is a lot of data to get through.
Yeah, there really is. And we're doing this to answer a burning question for you. In this ongoing battle of vibe coding versus traditional manual coding, which one actually produces the reliable, secure software that, runs our lives?
What's fascinating here is that this productivity paradox isn't happening in a vacuum. We are talking about the foundational architecture of modern society.
Right, like everything we use.
Exactly. Whether it's the banking app on your phone, the navigation software in your car, or even the database holding your medical records. The way those lines of code are written has fundamentally changed in the last 24 months. We're basically running a live global experiment on software reliability.
A very high-stakes experiment.
Yeah.
And to understand why this matters to you, we have to look at the absolute absurdity of how developers are operating right now.
Yeah, it's pretty
I
wild.
mean, we've got this massive trust gap brewing in the industry. But first, let's establish what vibe coding even is, right? Like, is it essentially just having a super fast intern who's undeniably brilliant, but occasionally makes up facts with supreme absolute confidence?
That is actually a perfect analogy. You still have to manage them, but they do the typing.
Right, and to figure out why developers are essentially gambling with their code bases with this intern, we have to look at what they're running away from, which is the absolute cognitive grind of traditional manual coding.
Oh, the grind is real.
It really is. That manual method requires a developer to hold this massive, incredibly fragile mental model in their head. They're tracking dozens of variables, data flows, and logic branches all at once, typing it out line by line. It's just mentally exhausting.
The cognitive load is immense. I mean, a manual coder is basically an author staring at a blank page.
Yeah.
And if they lose focus, or, if someone just interrupts them to ask a quick question, that entire mental house of cards just collapses. And that takes 20 minutes to rebuild the
That's
context.
just so frustrating.
Exactly. And that exhaustion is really what paved the way for vibe coding. The developer transitions from being a solitary author to acting more like a
A
director.
director, right?
Yeah, they use plain language prompts, they dictate the vibe or the intent of the feature they want, and the AI assistant generates the scaffolding, the components, or the test coverage. So the human's job shifts from typing out every character to just steering the ship.
Which, I mean, sounds like an absolute dream. You just delegate all the heavy lifting. And developers are clearly buying into this in droves.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if we look at the 2025 Stack Overflow Developer Survey, it shows roughly 84% of developers are now using or planning to use AI tools in their workflow.
84%.
Yeah, and about half of all professional developers are using them every single day. They are heavily, heavily invested.
The adoption curve is unprecedented. But that same Stack Overflow survey highlights a genuinely terrifying
Oh,
metric.
here we go.
Yeah. More developers actively distrust the accuracy of the AI tools they are using than those who actually trust them.
Okay, let's unpack this because I have to push back on that logic. Why on earth are highly trained, highly paid professionals incorporating a tool into their daily workflow, touching the core infrastructure of their company, no less if they fundamentally do not trust the output?
It sounds crazy, I know.
It's like hiring a sous chef that, might occasionally put salt instead of sugar in the cake, and you're just hoping you catch it before it goes to the customer. Why do that?
The motivation basically boils down to the sheer psychological friction of starting a task. Vibe coding bypasses that blank page syndrome we talked about. It is incredibly fast for generating boilerplate. The repetitive, uncreative structural code that literally every application needs, but no one actually enjoys writing.
Right, the tedious stuff.
Exactly. Developers are willing to tolerate that trust gap because they despise the mundane tasks. They are trading trust for momentum.
I see. But bad code doesn't always crash your computer immediately,
Right.
which makes that trade-off incredibly dangerous, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Incorrect code often fails completely silently.
Which is the worst kind of failure.
Right, because a catastrophic logic error doesn't always throw a giant, helpful red error message on the screen. It might just calculate a financial transaction wrong by a fraction of a cent.
Oh, wow.
Or it opens a tiny vulnerability in an authentication protocol, or silently corrupts a database over a period of 6 months. So the developers are chasing the momentum of generating code quickly, but they're building on a foundation they suspect is structurally unsound.
Which leads us directly into this wild paradox about productivity. Because our feelings about how fast we are going are, well, they're actively deceiving us.
They really are.
We have this highly referenced controlled study spanning 2025 to 2026 that measured this exact phenomenon. They put experienced developers in a controlled environment, gave them AI tools, and tracked their performance. And the developers went into the study expecting the AI to speed up their task completion by about 25%.
And just for context, a 25% reduction in task time would be a generational leap in software engineering. That's huge.
Huge. But the stopwatch told a completely different story. Once the researchers factored in the total life cycle of the task, including the time it took for the developer to actually review the AI's code, debug it, and fix all the subtle mistakes, the tasks actually took 19% longer than if the developers had just coded them manually from scratch.
19% longer. That is a massive tax on their time.
19% slower. But the real punchline of this study is that when they surveyed the developers afterward, those same developers still felt like they had worked faster.
The perception gap is just staggering.
Right. How does that happen?
Well, they felt more productive because they spent less time typing. Generating 50 lines of code in 2 seconds delivers a massive dopamine hit. It feels like progress.
Oh, I totally get that. It's exactly like driving a sports car in a crowded city. You hit the gas, the engine roars, and you feel this incredible burst of acceleration between the stoplights. You feel aggressive and fast.
That's a great way to look at it.
But the traffic, or in this case, the debugging and the reviewing, actually makes the total trip take longer than if you had just, you know, taken the subway.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling of speed is just an illusion created by that initial burst of acceleration.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the Google DORA 2025 report on AI-assisted software development tackles this illusion head on.
Oh, I love the DORA report.
It's fantastic. They categorize the time spent reviewing and untangling AI code as a mandatory, unavoidable tax on development. The critical takeaway from DORA is that speed at the keyboard does not equal speed to production.
Right, because typing isn't the hard part.
Exactly. Generating text is not the bottleneck in software engineering. Verifying that the text is logically sound, that's the real bottleneck.
And the DORA report also dives into how AI impacts different team structures, right?
Yeah.
Like they found that AI doesn't actually fix a team's broken processes. It basically acts as an amplifier for a team's existing strengths and weaknesses.
Let's look at a concrete scenario to illustrate that, because it's a crucial point. Imagine a low-performing engineering team.
Okay, painting a picture.
Yeah, they have weak code review practices, they rarely write automated tests, and they have a bad habit of rushing features out the door. If you give that team vibe coding tools, the AI acts as a tidal wave.
A tidal wave of bad code.
Precisely. It generates unverified, buggy code 10 times faster, and because the team lacks the discipline to review it, they basically drown in technical debt almost overnight.
So they are essentially just automating their own bad habits.
Yes, exactly. Now, contrast that with a high-performing team. They have rigorous, continuous integration pipelines, comprehensive automated testing, and a strict culture of peer review.
The dream team.
Right. For them, the AI is a tailwind. They use it to generate the draft, but their existing safety nets catch the errors before they ever reach production. The tool amplifies their discipline.
That makes a lot of sense.
If a team treats AI-generated code as a final product rather than a rough draft, they will inevitably slow themselves down with massive amounts of future rework.
Okay, so since debugging and reviewing are eating up all this time, making these tasks take 19% longer, we have to look at what exactly developers are spending so much time fixing.
The battle of the bugs.
Exactly. It's not just a matter of wasted time. It's a matter of the types of errors each method creates. Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's start with the flaws that are inherent in vibe coding.
The primary weakness of vibe coding really reveals itself in complex business logic. We have to remember how large language models actually function.
They aren't actually thinking.
Right. They do not possess a logical reasoning engine. They're essentially statistical prediction machines. They look at your prompt and calculate the mathematical probability of the next word or the next line of code based entirely on their training data.
So they're just playing the world's most advanced game of autocomplete.
That is exactly what they're doing. And that mechanism is why they struggle so badly with enterprise architecture or highly unique internal company rules.
Because they haven't seen it before.
Exactly. If your company processes taxes in a bizarre, highly specific way that isn't heavily documented on public GitHub repositories, the AI cannot guess it. It will provide a generic solution that looks right, but completely violates your internal business rules.
And this autocomplete mechanism is also responsible for hallucinated APIs, right? Which sounds like a tech-themed fever dream, but is actually a massive headache for developers right now.
Oh, it's a huge problem. A hallucinated API occurs when the AI confidently invents a software function, a method, or even a whole library that simply does not exist in reality.
Just makes it up.
Totally makes it up. Because the AI is just guessing the next most likely token, if it sees a pattern where a command should logically be called something like get secure auth token v2, it will just generate that code.
Even if it doesn't exist.
Right. It statistically fits the weights of the model, even if the actual software library only goes up to version 1.
So the developer copies the code, runs it, and the system immediately throws an error saying command not found. And developers are definitely feeling this pain.
Oh, absolutely.
Looking at the Stack Overflow data, 45% of developers explicitly cite their top frustration as dealing with code that is almost right. And 66% say they are spending significant extra time fixing these near misses.
The deceptive nature of the AI output is the core issue here. The syntax is often flawless. It indents perfectly, it uses the correct naming conventions, and it even includes helpful comments. It mimics the aesthetic of excellent software perfectly.
Wait, I have to stop you there because I am genuinely stuck on this paradox.
Okay, what's sticking?
I'm looking at the 2026 Sonar State of Code survey. It says 61% of developers complain that AI code looks correct on the surface but isn't reliable.
Right.
If the code is syntactically flawless, if it formats perfectly and looks beautiful, why is it taking a seasoned developer 19% longer to fix it? Shouldn't clean, well-formatted code be infinitely easier to read and debug than, like, a messy human draft?
That is the exact trap of the productivity illusion. You are confusing syntax with semantics.
Okay, break that down for me.
Syntax is just grammar. Did you spell the variables right? Did you close the parentheses? AI is incredible at grammar. Semantics, on the other hand, is meaning. Does this code actually achieve the business goal securely? AI really struggles with semantics. When a seasoned developer reviews code, if the syntax is messy, they can spot the errors instantly. But if the syntax is perfect, it lulls them into this false sense of security. They have to read much, much deeper to find the logical flaw that's hiding behind the beautiful formatting.
So it basically acts as camouflage.
Exactly. It forces the human to build a deep mental model of code they didn't even write. Tracing variables and logic branches created by an alien intelligence, which is essentially what an LLM is vastly more cognitively taxing than just writing it yourself.
Because you don't know the intent behind it.
Right. You lack the context of authorship. You don't know the assumptions the AI made.
Now contrast that with human developers.
Yeah.
We aren't perfect either, and manual coding has a massive list of flaws. But there are very different types of flaws.
Very different. Humans generally do not hallucinate APIs. We tend to know what tools actually exist in the code base.
Thankfully.
But manual coders are victims of cognitive fatigue. We make typographical errors after staring at a screen for 8 hours. We make off by one math mistakes in loops. And under severe deadline pressure, humans are notoriously bad at threat modeling.
We cut corners.
We do. We overlook obscure edge cases that a machine could spot instantly. We also frequently misunderstand the product requirements from the very start.
But comparing the two, if AI hallucinates and humans get tired, aren't we just trading one headache for another? Like a human typo is basically like a flat tire. You hear the blowout immediately, the car grinds to a halt, and you know exactly which tire to pull over and fix.
That's a good analogy.
But an AI logic error is like a microscopic slow leak in your brake line. The car drives perfectly smooth, the dashboard looks fine, and everything seems totally normal until you're heading toward a cliff and try to stop. The human error is loud, but the AI error is silent.
The ease of diagnosis is the critical separator here. When a human makes a fatigue-driven syntax error, the software compiler usually catches it immediately. The app crashes before it ever deploys.
Right, the flat tire.
Exactly. The loud errors are cheap to fix. The silent semantic errors introduced by AI require a literal detective to untangle, which is exactly why that stopwatch hits 19% longer.
Which brings us to the inevitable conclusion of this deep dive. Since neither approach is flawless, you know, humans get exhausted, AI gets confused and hallucinates, the future of coding cannot be a cage match between human and machine.
No, it really can't.
One isn't going to eradicate the other. It has to be a mandatory structural collaboration.
The prevailing verdict across the DORA report, the Sonar data, and Stack Overflow is that accuracy does not emerge from the tool you select. Accuracy is the byproduct of a disciplined process.
Process is key.
Always. It comes from rigorous human code review, extensive automated testing, crystal clear requirement gathering, and mandatory security validation. The tool just changes the speed of the draft.
So it's a division of labor. We need to let the machine do what the machine is mathematically optimized for and preserve the human for what humans are actually good at.
Precisely. We know that AI is exceptionally proficient at handling boilerplate code, generating unit tests, and building what we call CRUD applications.
Which stands for create, read, update, delete, right?
Yes, exactly. These are standard, heavily repeated software patterns. The reason AI excelled at CRU is because platforms like GitHub are overflowing with millions of examples of these exact patterns. They are highly deterministic, so the LLM maps them perfectly.
But the humans have to handle the bespoke architecture, the threat models, the security protocols, the highly unique business logic that actually gives a company its competitive advantage.
Because the AI doesn't know your business.
Right, and AI doesn't know why your company's checkout process is slightly different than your competitors.
Yeah.
But how does this division of labor affect different skill levels? Because a senior architect interacts with an LLM very differently than, say, a bootcamp grad who just downloaded a coding app yesterday.
Oh, the experience gap dictates the entirety of the value proposition. For beginners, vibe coding is an incredibly dangerous double-edged sword.
How so?
On one hand, it is fantastic for motivation. A novice can build a working web app in an afternoon, which keeps them engaged and excited. But there is a massive systemic risk of shallow understanding. If a beginner just accepts the AI output without struggling through the mechanics of why it actually works, they never build the mental muscle required for debugging.
They basically bypass the productive struggle. And if you don't struggle to build the mental model, you are completely helpless when the AI hallucinates that slow leak in the brake line.
Exactly. The consensus from the educational data is that beginners should really utilize AI as a tutor. They should prompt the AI to explain a concept or walk them through an error rather than just acting as a generator that writes the final answer for them.
That makes total sense. And what about the veterans?
Experts, conversely, reap the absolute highest dividends from AI.
Because the experts already possess those deep mental models. They have spent 10 years struggling. They can glance at the perfectly formatted, syntactically beautiful code and immediately spot the semantic flaw the AI tried to sneak by them.
Right. They step out of the author role and comfortably inhabit the editor role. The JetBrains 2025 State of Developer Ecosystem Report highlights this beautifully.
What did they find?
Developers overwhelmingly want to delegate the routine, mind-numbing tasks to the AI, but they fiercely guard their control over the complex, creative, and architectural work. They have absolutely no intention of handing over the steering wheel. They just want the AI to pave the road faster.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, today? Let's say you were sitting down to build an app this weekend, or maybe you're a tech lead managing a team deploying enterprise software on Monday. Based on the totality of these reports, what is the single biggest trap you have to actively avoid?
This raises an important question, and the answer is clear. The ultimate trap is a failure of deployment discipline.
Okay.
The single most dangerous action you can take is deploying untested, unreviewed, AI-generated code directly to a production environment. You must fundamentally categorize unreviewed AI code as a first draft. It is a sketch. It is not finished software.
So you cannot just smash the publish button on the AI's first attempt, no matter how clean the syntax looks.
If you do, you are begging for a silent failure. The workflow has to be militaristic in its discipline. You leverage the AI for velocity on the initial draft, but you absolutely must apply human critical thinking, automated test suites, and security validations for the final edit.
Right.
When you trace back the viral stories of massive corporate data breaches or, you know, vibe coding gone wrong, they almost never originate from a rogue AI. They originate from a human developer who skipped the review process.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today. We unpacked the Stack Overflow data, revealing that developers use AI daily, but deeply distrust its output. we explored the cognitive mechanics behind the productivity illusion, where generating code makes us feel 25% faster, but tracing the AI's hallucinations actually takes 19% longer.
And we contrasted the deceptive, hallucinated logic errors of the machine against the loud, fatigue-driven typos of the human, really establishing why syntax is not a replacement for semantics.
Ultimately, vibe coding is a monumental accelerant. It is an incredible piece of technology. But it is not a replacement for engineering judgment. The AI provides the V8 engine, giving you raw power, but the human must absolutely remain behind the steering wheel, navigating the traffic.
The true market value of a developer today is no longer measured by their typing speed or their ability to memorize syntax.
No, it's not.
Value is derived from their ability to interpret ambiguous business requirements, review code critically, and architect secure, resilient systems.
Whether you are a beginner trying to launch your very first minimum viable product, or a 10-year veteran untangling a legacy enterprise system, your critical judgment is your most valuable asset. But that brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with, something to mull over the next time you open a code editor.
Oh, I'm curious.
If these models keep scaling, and the AI gets exponentially better at doing the actual typing, and our primary daily function becomes reviewing, architecting, and fixing its near misses, will the title of software engineer eventually just evolve into software editor?
That shift in nomenclature represents a profound change in how humanity creates technology.
It fundamentally changes the job description. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the sources today. Keep questioning the tools you use, keep exploring the underlying mechanics, and we'll catch you next time.